Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. For those who weren't here this morning, why not? The Lord knows. And my name is Steve Taylor, and I'm married to Elaine, former member of the parish of Siloam Baptist, and we got married last June, 28th. Good. I remember that one. We've been married now 6 months, and we live in Abergavenny. I was thinking there as you were worshiping. I suppose my official title is I'm an Elam Pentecostal minister and have been for 20 odd years. I've ministered in various places around the country. Elaine and I met 3 years ago. Just over 3 years ago, at a Care for the Family conference in Bristol, a Care for the Family evening in Bristol, having been introduced together by my sister, who sings with Elaine in Cambrensis, the Cambrensis Choir. We moved to Abergavenny. I moved to Abergavenny a year ago, set up home, and Elaine joined me when we got married in June. At the moment, I'm working as a support worker for people with learning difficulties in the Pontypool and Cwmbran area. Elaine works up in Merthyr for the Welsh Government. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Is that legal? And tonight, my mother-in-law is here watching over me. So it's like if things start getting thrown from that direction, my mother-in-law is taking issue with something I say. I have a very nice mother-in-law. Is that okay? Good. Okay, there we go. Our heart is to, there is at the moment no Elam Pentecostal Church in Abergavenny, and we are believing that God is wanting us to set up some kind of witness there in the town. And so please pray for us. We believe that God, we keep getting words of knowledge and prophecy from people that what God wants us to do is outside of the box of what people think church and Christianity should be, which is very exciting, but also very daunting at the same time. Because we haven't got a clue what that really means in practice. So when people say, so what are you going to do? And we say, well, we're not quite sure. We haven't got the full picture yet. And so we're still waiting on God for that. So if you are praying for us, please help us. Please stand with us in prayer. You know, Elaine mentioned to me about the difficulties you've had recently with the burglary. And I suppose in a place like Llanrymney, the needs are easy to see. In Abergavenny, the needs are not so easy to see because it's quite a nice town. But the needs are still the same. In fact, they're probably even greater because most people are too busy to go to church on Sunday because they're running the kids to the football, the gymkhana, and there's a massive cycling culture and motorbike culture in Abergavenny. So on a summer in Abergavenny, there'll be 1,000 motorbikes going through Abergavenny, going to and from the Brecon Beacons because everybody's got the time on their hands not to go to church, but they'll jump on a motorbike and drive 50 miles and not think anything more about it. And so there's that culture to address at the moment, which we're thinking about. And so that's the challenge that we face in Abergavenny. Anyway, that's the end of the introduction. Let's get on with the message. I want to read tonight from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You don't hear much about Colossians, but it's turned out to be one of my favorite books in the Bible. And Colossians chapter 2 is, we're going to read from verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition rather than the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of sinful nature. Not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your sins and your uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. Tonight I just want to dwell very quickly on a thought that came alive as I was reading and studying the scripture. Both myself and Elaine, this is our second marriage. My marriage ended three odd years ago. I wear a bandana because basically 7 years ago tonight I was in the Royal Marsden up in London having chemotherapy. I developed a very, very serious and rare disease called Poem syndrome. At the time we were living in Brighton, and the hematologist who I was under was a very nice man, said to me, "We have discovered, Steve, you've got Poem syndrome. I've been a hematologist or a blood specialist for 25 years. You're my first case and you will be my last case of this. We do not know how to treat you." However, the Brighton Hospital was linked with the Royal Marsden, and the Royal Marsden heard about my case and were quite interested in it, and so decided to ask me to go up there for treatment, which I'm very grateful for. And so on the 21st of January, I entered the Royal Marsden Hospital, and they dumped probably that 2 glasses worth of chemotherapy in me in one go. And then I just lay there and waited 2 weeks for me to get better. And then I left the hospital on the 6th of February, quite painful, and 3.5 stone lighter than I went in. It was 2 weeks that I will never forget. It was a very painful time. But the pressure of all the illness and the recovery took a toll on my marriage. And when my wife left me, that was probably even worse. That was far more worse than having a chemotherapy. If I had to make a choice of the two, I would have had the chemotherapy again. But the grace of God is bigger than that. And one of the scriptures that I discovered in the period of time where I was recovering and making my life get sorted out from having to leave home and start again was Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and you have that fullness if you are in Christ. Which means tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because you are here in church, I am believing and trusting that you know the Lord as Savior. And if you know the Lord as Savior, this scripture applies to you right this very minute. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwelt in bodily form. And you have that fullness. And I find that a terrific source of encouragement and truth, leading on from what I said this morning, helps me to stand firm in my faith, regardless of what situations stand against me and are going from in my life and circumstances, situations. And I hope that you as a fellowship, in spite of the fact that somebody broke in and stole your PA system and things like that, will know that in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form in your life right now. You and I carry Christ, and not just Christ, the fullness of the deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells in you right now. If we knew what we were carrying, and we believed, who knows what will happen? Because he is, it goes on to say in verse 10, he is the head of every power and authority in the land. We get hung up on spiritual warfare, but the Bible tells us that he is the head of over every authority and every principality. And whichever translation you look at, it says the same thing, which I think is a terrific thing for us to hold on to. And those verses have held me in the last 3 years, particularly in the last 6 months of marriage. No, 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 that's not true. That's not true. Oh, dear. I can feel the eyes looking at me across the side of the room here. For those listening on the podcast, I'm in the front of the stage, and from stage right, it's getting hot. Now, those words are a real source of encouragement. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And you have that fullness if you are in Christ. What a wonderful thought. But then suddenly, Paul jumps off on one. And then he goes on and talks, he says this in verse 11. He says, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Christ's circumcision wiped out the handwriting of the requirements against us, somebody once wrote. And when I thought of that, I thought of the story of circumcision, and I began to look in the book of Joshua. And we're going to go and turn to Joshua in a second, because I want to show tonight, I don't really have a title for this message, but I want to show tonight that the victory, that when once the Israelites entered the promised land, their whole perspective and way of life changed totally. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to Joshua chapter 3? I'm sure if you've been in church for a period of time, you will know the story that in Joshua chapter 1, God turns to Joshua and Israel and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Which is quite a compact obituary, considering all that Moses did for the Lord and what Moses saw the Lord do in his life of bringing the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and the ten plagues upon Israel and the giving of the law and all of that. But God succinctly wraps it up in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now I'm appointing you to go. But in Joshua chapter 3, we have the story of the crossing of the River Jordan, which is a sermon in itself, and I don't intend to do that tonight. But God suddenly starts to change the perspective because he tells Joshua to get the people ready. And early in the morning, verse 1, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officer went throughout the land, the camp, giving orders. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. And then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. And if you read down into chapter 3, you will see that as soon as the priests broke camp, they entered the Jordan, which at the time was in flood. And as soon as the priests carrying the ark, their feet touched the Jordan, the river started to back up somewhere further downstream in a place called Adam. And the land and the whole riverbed dried up. And the priests stood in the middle of the River Jordan with the ark, and all of Israel crossed over, all the Israelites crossed over into the land of Israel. It was a miracle. And then, whilst they were there, God said to them, I want you to get 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel to set up as a memorial. And as soon as the priests came out of the River Jordan, the Jordan then began to flow again as normal. And it said the hearts of the people of the land that were living in Israel at the time melted because they heard and seen the power of God that was at work. And then, as soon as they entered the land, instead of sort of, right, we're going to take the land now, God stopped the people and he asked them in chapter 5 for circumcision. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan heard in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 5, and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, that their hearts sank and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haaloth. And he goes on to do to tell why. All the people that came out, verse 5, were circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he'd solemnly promised to the fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and all those were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were all still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. After the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained into the camp until they were healed. And then verse 9, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to that day. So they cross over the Jordan. They get the news that the tribes of the various nations in Israel at that time, their hearts were feared and were scared because of what was going on, because it's a mighty work that God had done, a miracle. And I think if I had been in charge at that time, I'd have wanted to have just made progress and just wiped out the people in front of me. But God said, no, you're going to stop and we're going to circumcise you. Because from then on in, the battles that they faced became different to the battles that they faced when they were in the desert. That verse 9 is very important. See, I have cut off the reproach of the past. Because from the moment that they went into the desert to the time that they walked into the promised land, the Israelites had to fight. They had to battle. They had to go and fight the various people. You know, there's somewhere in Exodus, I think it's Exodus 17 or 18, they had the battle where Moses had to put his hands up and the people, Joshua was fighting, and so the two men had to hold up Moses' hands. And every time Moses' hands drooped, the battle went against the Israelites. But every time that Moses raised his hands, the battle went for the Israelites. It was a battle and it was a struggle to go across. But God said, now we're in the promised land, it's going to be different. Because in Joshua chapter 6, we have that famous story of Joshua and the battle of Jericho, which I'm sure that we all know really well. But there was no battle. God commanded Israel to pick up the ark. God went in front and people followed behind, and he got the musicians and he got the trumpeters and they played, and for 7 days they marched around, and the people in Jericho thought, this lot are insane. What is going on? But on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times, I think it was. They blew the trumpets and they shouted to God and the walls fell down. Walls so thick that in fact they held chariot races on top of them. They were that wide, fell down. And according to the archaeologists, the walls didn't fall down like that. They fell down like that. They came down almost vertically. That's what archaeologists have discovered. But no shots were fired. No arrows were fired. No slings were fired. The people worship God. And they went forward in victory. Because God had changed tactics. And that is why Paul writes, as he does in Colossians chapter 2, about in Christ you were circumcised. Not with a circumcision done by man, but with a circumcision done by Christ. And we have that hope. And we have that promise. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That's Colossians chapter 2 verses 11 and 12. Christ circumcised the corporate entity of sinfulness, bringing us into a land of new existence. It gives us unadulterated access to the throne of God and the throne of grace. God started a new thing with Joshua. And when Christ died, God started a new thing. Some of that we looked at this morning when I had the sermon, The Place Called There. For now we come to a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. We come to a place of abundance and grace and mercy. The original circumcision was done by Abraham when God commanded him. And Abraham had two children at the time. He had Isaac and he had Ishmael from a relationship with his servant when he thought he wasn't going to have a child and he didn't listen to God's promises. Isaac in the Hebrew means literally ha 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 ha, the joyous people. Because you see, when Isaac was born, he was circumcised after 8 days when God commanded circumcision. So when Isaac grew up as a kid, he doesn't remember it. Ishmael was a teenager when he was circumcised, and he remembered it. Probably that's why teenagers are grumpy. Just a thought, not biblical, just a Steve Taylor thought. We are of the Isaac generation. Our circumcision, the cutting off of our sin, was done at the cross. You and I weren't there because it happened 2,000 years ago. But it was a painless operation for us because Christ bore the sin. And because Christ carried your cross for you so that you don't have to carry it anymore. And so we enter the promised land like Joshua did. And our weapons are not weapons of guns and things of mass destruction, but our weapons are worship and trust in the cross and what Jesus has done. And that, I believe, is the simple message that I want to leave with you tonight. Don't be like Ishmael. He remembered the pain. Be like Isaac. Because the pain was dealt with before he could recognize it and fully comprehended and fully appreciated. And all Isaac did was recover that which his fathers and his father Abraham had done before him. He just went and redug the wells that were there, and God prospered him and blessed him. Outside of these four walls is a very hungry world. Whether you live in a town like Abergavenny, where Elaine and I live, where around you you see people who are reasonably well off, or whether you live in Llanrymney in a state that is notorious and is difficult. We face the same battle, not of anger, but of apathy, lack of understanding of the grace of God, out of ignorance, out of choice, out of busyness of lifestyle. But we have a God has dealt with the sin. I like Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Nisi, are we able to get that up? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And I finish with this. Says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. For he chose us in him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And the whoever is out there, you know, some translations that all who believe in him out there, nobody's excluded. That's not universalism. That's the message of hope and the reconciliation of the gospel, I believe. That we have a message of hope and reconciliation. That we have a God who has dealt with the issue of sin in people's lives. And they're hungry to know that truth. And they're hungry to know that love. But the fact is they don't know it. because nobody's really, they've never really taken it in. And God is saying, I believe, to us, go out and live it. Go out and share that love. Go out and share that joy. Our weapons are worship and love and hope. Our weapons are, and our message is one of reconciliation. That God was in the world reconciling people to himself through Christ. We are ambassadors, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Be reconciled to God. As ambassadors, I'm waffling now. As ambassadors, we carry special authority. When I was in London on a field trip 30 years ago, I was on a Bristol Polytechnic, I got stuck on the M4 in our coach on a Sunday afternoon with traffic going into London. And suddenly, we were on the inside lane, and suddenly going up on the hard shoulder, this sort of Bentley-type vehicle just zoomed past us. And we all went, oh, that's wrong. And the bus driver said, he can do that. He's an ambassador from another country. A couple of days later in London, we were outside Harrods, and there was this ambassador's car parked on triple yellow, you know, the red lines in London. They've got double yellow lines, they've got single yellow lines, and they've got red lines. The single yellow means no parking, the double yellow means no parking at all, and the triple red ones means that Boris Johnson's going to come and bomb your car or something like that. You don't park on those lines because they just come and tow you away. But an ambassador's car can do that because he's from another country and you can't touch his car. You can't touch his goods. We are ambassadors of Christ. Our homes can be embassies of his glory and his power. Our churches can be his embassies, which means that if you go to the American embassy in the poorest country of the world, like Bangladesh, you walk into that embassy, even though it's in Bangladesh, it's the American embassy. It means that it operates under America's terms and conditions. It means you've got American food, American air conditioning, American desires, and American wealth. It's all in that place because it's an American embassy. We are ambassadors of Christ. We carry his authority. And God says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And you have been given that authority. And I have been given that authority. We have been given that authority, and he is the head over every authority and power. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because 2,000 years ago, he rolled our iniquity and the reproach away from him. Let us pray. Father, I ask that we will be your ambassadors. Lord, when Israel left Egypt towards the promised land, it had to fight its battles and fight and claw its way and took a few detours before it finally made it 40 years later. But as soon as they crossed the Jordan to the promised land, God changed the whole landscape, the whole way that they were living. And he made a fresh start through the circumcision. And then they saw God begin to go before them as they carried the ark, and you just won victory after victory until that land was taken for the Lord. Paul writes that in Christ all of God's deity dwells in bodily form, and we have that fullness if we are in Christ. And then he talks about the circumcision that was rolled away, not physical, but done by Christ on the cross. He then goes on to talk about the victory that God took the sins that were written against us, and he nailed them to Christ's cross, making a public spectacle over the enemy. Thank you tonight that for this church and for everyone who calls and bears the name of the Lord, that is their standard, that is their badge, that is their fulfillment, that each one of us carries an ambassadorial title of Christ's ambassadors. Help us to reach out to the world and say, God's saying, be reconciled. The way has all been made possible. The way is open. Go before us in your power, O Lord, and reveal that truth to us, that we may glory in the finished work of the cross. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.